Sneaker Business Talk. It's the Soul Material Podcast.
Welcome back, friends. It's the Soul Material Podcast, the podcast you cheer for, the channel you cheer for. We are here with another episode of that Sneaker Business Talk, so we can give you that clarity over popularity. So let's start the show. It's T-Mark the Street Shark.
And your man, the OGEO. Welcome once again.
All right, and we are here. And now, you know, this episode is just another one where we're just going to volley up a rhetorical question. And let's talk about, you know, another State of the Union topic of the sneaker culture. So what's going on with reselling? Is reselling dead? I don't know. OG, let's kick them off. What's going on with reselling? Is it dead? Is it over? Is it still going? Where are we at? Where are we going?
Well, there's been a few articles the past few weeks regarding this topic, and I'm not saying it's gone totally viral, but if you read the comments, a lot of people have a lot of opinions regarding this exact thing, and you have one extreme or the other. You got one extreme of the people saying, thank God things are going back to some kind of normalcy. I can walk in a Foot Locker now and see multiple releases and get them for retail. Then you have the other side of the guy saying, why are you guys crowning that side? That's part of the game. This is just business, and it's just a cycle now. And it's interesting to me because it depends on what you define as dead. And at one point during the pandemic, when people had all this, when going back to our previous episodes, when people had a little bit more money coming from the government elsewhere, it just rolled some things up. But everyone knew, you don't have to be an economic, you know, major to know, or business major to know, that the bubble is going to burst sooner or later. And you're dealing with an economy now that's sitting where it's sitting. And it's not just easy to go and just get a shoe and just make $150 off of it like it was before. And you see how production is going. You see how now you're seeing how people aren't buying as much as they did. And I believe, Shark, that the population of sneakerheads who were willing to just pay whatever has shrunk tremendously as well. So even the resellers are getting more sharky, lack of a better term. So their art of acquisition is not like they are doing what we used to, in which we thought, hey, I could resell something because I get my thing for free. And people aren't really paying their bills and so forth like they used to as far as this reselling thing. So is it dead to that extent? I believe that it is. Now, I think it's a sign for things to come because people aren't as excited about these releases that we know about 6 months in advance, because Shark, people know that they can't make but so much off of them like they used to even last year or year before. So again, you talked about this, Shark, as far as why are you in the game? What are your real motives? And we're starting to see, like I said before, who's real, who's fake. And now it's this whole jubilation going on with a certain section of our community saying, thank God now I could just get a shoe for retail and I could take my time and walk into a JD or a Foot Locker and get my shoe and not have to worry about bots or worry about employees being shady, so forth, because it's dying or it's dead right now. Is it interesting, Shock? What's your take?
Yeah, so I don't think it's dead, first of all. I think that the hype beast reselling, that died down. So the timeline that you just talked about, especially pandemic, early pandemic, well, the thing that helped drive that is the lack of supply, you know. So, but then once the supply chain shored itself back up, then it's just like, boom, boom, what just happened? No, that's what happened. Y'all wasn't prepared for the longevity. It's always the short game. And that's why, you know, and for me, as someone who sold on multiple platforms, you know, my stuff is tanking, not because I'm not a good seller or I'm not trying hard enough. It's just, people aren't buying. You know why? Because that's the intent part. Were you really buying it? Or like a lot of people were on these, let's admit that people were on the resale markets to buy and then resell again. Like, just stop it. You know that you were recirculating some of this stuff so that you can buy it at its early sale price, resale price, so that you can hold on to it for another month, you know, see the Travis Scott's and the escalator of, so if you don't get it on the release, you'll still try to buy it on the aftermarket, hold it, and then come back again. That's what you can't really do with so much anymore. You can't recycle the resale where you're the go to our Plugs and Connects episode, and then you will get to understand who is really what in the equation of the acquisition. Like, who's really the plug versus the connect? You know what I mean? And so that's why I think that that has been watered down a little bit. Because he didn't have the supply. I mean, you took advantage of the supply part, and now that, you know, the supply is there and the demand, I feel like demand wasn't, it was kind of comparable. So when you take the supply and add to it, now the demand just looks minimized. And people just aren't doing it. Because again, people were here for the wrong reasons, you know, and now it's starting to show. Because again, I've got some really good stuff, but now the value of coolness is equated to the resale. So it's not cool unless it's limited, and you can resell it for a lot of money. That's the part where it confuses me, because why are you here again? Why do you want to pay so much money for this shoe? And those shoes that are valuable, I don't really see regular people just walk around wearing those shoes anyway. So what are you doing? What are you doing with it? So because it's hard to predict what is without actually, if you just held up a shoe and was just like, will this resell for a lot? You can't answer that question in today's sneaker world, because you're going to get a whole bunch of extra questions. Well, how much is it? How many did they make? Where is it going to be available? Is it limited? Why do those things matter in the equation of what's hot? You know what I mean? If you had a gazillion shoes and they were popular and they all sold out, either make more or you can resell what you had and then get more money. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all about, it was popular because people wanted it, not because it sells for a lot. This is why it became fickle, because you can't predict the sales anymore. You know how I know this still exists? The fact that the DT Maxes, the Deion Sanders that was on the everybody's clearance, all right, all he did was go to Colorado and change the yellow to gold and then put the Prime logo on the back, and that sold out in milliseconds. You know why? Because it got botted, okay? Nike, I thought you were thwarting the bots. That was one of the biggest bot attacks of the longest time. And yes, I'm mad at that. Because all you did, you didn't want the shoe. And then you even gloat and talk about, like, should have been quicker, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, you're cheating. You know what I mean? And you, all you're doing is preying on the sheep. And you use just, what is a shoe that's less than $200, you just want to sell it for $400, $500. Just because you zapped up all the inventory. And Coach Prime is hot. You know what I mean? So, Nike, I think you fumbled on that one, the way that you released it, because you literally let the thing you said that you've been investing in to stop.
For years.
Mm-hmm. Well, it feels like only if it's a draw, only if it's on the sneakers app. That's the part that you got to do better at. But if you just post it on the website and be like, it'll be there at 10 a.m. on Thursday, you don't have no buy protection? Man, that ruins some stuff. You know what I mean? So that was a great example that I wanted to give. Like, that's how I know it didn't go away. But it was just like, really? So that shoe didn't do... I mean, that shoe sold, but so much. It sold a lot, the Deion Sanders. And then, but like, you know, I got the reimagined Jordan 4s right here. Reimagined Jordan 4s. Boom. Okay? Nike sign on the back. Why isn't this reselling for crazy? It's a 4 with the Nike on the back. Original now, I know it just came out, you know, with the new buck, you know, not the full leather and everything like that, you know, what was it, 2019? Like, I get it. But we still don't have but so many of these that got retro. So why is this not even reselling for more than $20 or whatever at this point? You know what I mean? We just had to release because it, you know, he had to the pre-release and all the other stuff that came out on the site. That's why I got them before the reason. But I'm just sitting here like, now, why can't I get an extra $100 for this?
That's crazy you say that, Shark, because, you know, it was like clockwork with every Jordan Retro. Every held for 4 weeks, and you always got at least double. Outside of fees, you always got double of what the retail was before retail really got crazy. So it's interesting that
at one point in time, it was like everyone just bought the shoes, sold out, resold it just to make the money back or whatever, make the 100, 150 or whatever, or if you bought the two, because we're not in the double culture anymore. One to rock, one to stock, and then you wore it, and then you sold the worn shoe, and then you wear the new one again. Like, no one buys doubles anymore. That's not a part of the culture whatsoever, which is a shame. And here's another one. You know, this is a Nike shoe that came out a little while ago. You'll see the details on our page on Instagram and on YouTube. But here's some Air Bacons, all right? But Supreme. I thought anything Supreme is just supposed to fly off the shelf. I was surprised that I was able to get these. And I know that they're not selling for resale for crazy prices. You know what I mean? Again, back in the day, anything with that Supreme, anything, I don't care what it was, buku bucks. And Supreme does a great job of the lifestyle stuff. You know what I mean? So I get it. If you had a freaking lighter that was Supreme, it would be like $150. You know what I'm saying? That's what half of y'all buy, sell, boutiques got all that. You know, I don't need a Supreme toothpick, but okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got it, and you're charging for it. So I can have a straw or a cup that just said Supreme on it, and then it would resell for crazy. But this shoe didn't, and I don't understand, because it's excellent material, and this was well executed. But I'm sitting here like, why doesn't Supreme? Because Supreme has some Nike Air Maxes that are getting ready to come out, and I'm sitting there like, I don't see nobody saying how hype these are and why these are so cool and everything. I don't get it. The fact that you had Supreme Air Forces that stayed on their site for a very long time. I'm like, man, back in the day, anything that was a Air Force that had an alternate logo was like, I'm drooling. You know what I'm saying? Like anything that's just different. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, you know, even got the Supreme on the back tab over here, you know. So I just don't understand the recipe for hypeness, because even the brands now, Supreme, I know you've been sold out to, you sold your company to a bigger conglomerate and everything like that, but your products have stayed true to the essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. So you haven't watered down any of your equity, in my opinion, in your brand and the products that you're releasing. But the question is, did the equity get impacted from the value of the customer? You know, because I know a lot of younger kids was really into Supreme stuff, but then they have grown up again. So did the newer young people get on to this? I don't, it looks like no is the answer. But it's just like a Ronnie Fag with Kith. What happened to them? What happened to the Kith collab? Any ASICs, Kith or Ronnie was like, whoop, triple the price every time.
We're in a climate that it's getting sketchy because we don't have the data to back up. And it's funny because it's a bunch of confusion is what I think it is, Shark. But that is the generation that we're dealing with right now, to where you can't get a grasp on too much of anything. So the Dion example, man, was, for lack of a better term, prime time. Because you and I both know that last retro, you're talking about sitting. I think I got mine for like $39.99. Not even on a hash wall, full box, tissue paper, everything at an outlet. So it shows.
Mine was the Ross Burlington special, yo. Mm-hmm. Especially them red ones. The red and white ones was really, the 49ers, that was everywhere. Now the black ones, and you just had to get a clean pair because of the way that the white sole and everything just didn't work out. Look, mm-hmm. I love the LeBron. Shout out to Dion. You know what I'm saying? I love the LeBron Dions that he rocked at the All-Star game. So shout out to Xavier. Woo-hoo, boy. hey, definitely. You did your thing with that one, man. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's just like, can we get a LeBron watch? Can we get that? Can we release that, please? You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, it'll just resell for a lot of money, and then we won't ever get to touch it. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, man, what if these markets didn't exist? Let's just pretend, really quick. You know, we still got some time in this episode. Let's pretend that eBay and StockX don't exist. Are sneakers cool?
Woo! Man, that's like saying if
we just messed up like two generations of sneakerheads because the reason why they're here won't exist. So you actually have to like this in order to exist over here.
That goes back to the essence of our foundation, Shark, in which you had to have a story behind it. And unfortunately, I have to blame the brands too, because of the cutting of cost, of course, changing the philosophies, changing the bosses and everything, there is a lack of marketing and advertising to kind of
wait. Did you just said you blame the brand?
A little bit, because what you just said is regarding talking about our foundation, and a part of our foundation is having the story. But a lot of our stories did not come from we went to the store, tried on, it was great. Our story came from the athlete wearing it or some rapper wearing it in a beat. We had some kind of story. And that brought the essence of saying beyond what people may have liked and not liked, this is my story and I like it. And now we're in a generation in which, like you said, you're dealing with sheep, you're dealing with flock. And a part of people not having their story is because brands aren't really, as you mentioned in a few of our past episodes, telling the story the way it should be told consistently. So you've shown some poem, you've shown where the story's being told, but not as consistently. So we have in a generation that was not as privileged as we were to have those kind of avenues and those things going on that we weren't totally oblivious to, but it helped us out to kind of create our story. So for someone who's 14 now, what story are they going to create? They're going to go on social media, see what's hot, see what's hype. And if they have 80% of people at their school, you know, wherever they do extracurricular activities saying that something is hot and that's correlating to what's expensive or what's exclusive, we weren't like that because, like I said, in our previous episodes, we came from a hometown where multiple brands, no matter if you wore Etonics, you wore K-Swiss, you wore New Balances, and that was just as equal as wearing a Jordan or a Nike or Adidas. As long as it was clean, it was fly in the D.C. area. That's where we're from. Same thing with New York a lot of times. And I don't think that the generation now gets that. So for them to get the clout, if you're chasing clout, what's the thing? What's popular? What's expensive? What's exclusive? And that's part of the game, but that shouldn't be the game. I think that's the game now that most of this younger generation is getting. And I can't totally blame them for it because if they don't have an uncle like an Uncle Shark or Uncle Kev here, who are they going to go to kind of give them some kind of story? Even they can come to our house and see where our stories come from to have a foundation. We had that. The generation totally is missing that, man. There's nobody from a foundational standpoint, relative or so forth, that can even pass these stories down and show how it's supposed to be done. So you're dealing with the lost generation overall in the hobby, man.
I feel like it's a big cause and effect that's mutual. And this is a trickle down. This is what happens when you react to the reaction and then you keep that cycle going and snowballing, right? So here's kind of the timeline, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sneakers, underground culture. Okay, sneakers. Oh, this coming a thing. Okay, sneakers are a thing. Okay, now we say let's open the doors because now it's a thing, and then businesses discover, oh, it's a thing. Let's start sponsoring stuff, and now the different level of gatekeeping comes into play. And then what's going to happen is you lose the storytelling because the companies are now reacting like that's what y'all are doing. Oh, wait, so if we sell it at this price and then you go sell it at that price, why are we even doing this? You know what I'm saying? No, we want some of that. So we're going to go start buying up some of these other assets and we're going to keep increasing the pricing and then see how far you go. Oh, oops, went too far. That remastered thing didn't work. We didn't really give you better materials. We just told you that. And then now you got us. Let's come back. Reimagined. Okay, we're back again. Let's up this price and just change the classic material and see what you do with it. you're reacting to the reaction, and this is why you've lost the history. Just think about the history of Black Americans, Black people in America, and how we don't have a lineage of our history because it's strategically hidden, and some of it we hid ourselves because the transgressions of the other generations don't allow you to tell you the truth because they don't want to tell you the truth because it's ugly sometimes, and they don't have public records of those times that we did, that we have today. So there's no receipts. No one could call you out. So you could just tell a story, and then it just goes to generations. And that could be the fourth generation could have lived a whole lie of someone before. And that's right. What's happening in this generation of sneakers is that we've gone too far of not creating the lineage. So the young people, they don't know, and they're not asking for the stories. And then the people above, the decision makers, you're not here for the culture. So you're just like, whatever, you going to get with this work that I'm giving you. I'm going to put this social media person in front of you. Think about what you just said about all the stimuli that existed in our era. How in the world did we have more relevant stimuli in an analog marketplace
with less?
We didn't have no internet, right? Where's the connection that gives you the nostalgia that we talk about with a commercial? Okay, a commercial that runs on TV. Sometimes you want to hurry up and watch the show to get to the commercial because I want to see the frozen moments. I want to see Jordan and climb up that long basket just for the Concords. You know what I mean? There's no even words in it half the time. It's just this moment. And then he's just hanging there at the end. It's like, oh, how's it get down? Jordan versus Bird McDonald's commercials. You know what I'm saying? Off the bleachers, off the ceiling, off this, nothing but net. Like, that's a... Come on, those are moments. You Indeed. Know, Lil Penny, you want to party like Lil Penny? You know what I'm saying? Come on. I left my toothbrush at the house. You know, okay. Now I'm coming in and wanting to connect to it. So even before I had my own story, you gave me stories that I could at least feel a part of, or because I'm watching the player, and then it translates to the court, and then you're the personality of the player, because we didn't have social media to follow a player and then learn what their personality and everything. So the commercials, the advertisements, the print ads that we saw stimulated us in a deeper, more meaningful way, because you only had limited opportunity to display those messages. So they had to hit home more. Now the game is just repetition. Great. It has nothing to do with substance. The focus is repetition. How many times can I just cross your eyes? And then now you're scrolling. So you got a lot of stimuli and you don't have no attention span for it. Okay. So all they got to do is just keep getting in front of your eyes multiple times a day. And that's all they care about. It don't matter. It's conversion. You're converting. I'm like, damn, like my whole experience is a conversion now? Because you're just trying to throw things in front of me and get me to click through and then go buy something. They're not even trying to drive you to the brick and mortar store anymore. They don't care. They're shutting down half of the stores anyway.
There you go.
So, you know, I just feel like it's mutual. This is a snowball effect, and it's a reaction to the reaction. So if you go back in time, there has to be an original event that happened and then started the reaction. I think that original reaction was the consumer's fault. That's where I'm going, because the businesses will only do things that make them money, okay? They weren't thinking about you and the quantities and what you like about sneaker culture. They just saw you reselling religiously. It was getting dangerous because people are camping out and doing all this stuff, you know? So it was just like, okay, well, we're more liable now. So let's make it worth our time if we're more liable now. Okay? Let's actually just increase the price and just see how far we can go with these people, you know? And we're gonna give you a countdown pack in one of the shoes we know you don't want, but we're gonna force you to do it, and then make you split it and resell it or do whatever the heck you want to do. But let's just see how many different ways people find. And then you're like, people are still doing it. People are still. Oh wow, we need to invest in another in these aftermarket sites. StockX. StockX was not a sell market to begin with.
There you
StockX was literally a guy from Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, who based his statistics off of eBay sales.
There you go.
And then made a site that talked about the market based on eBay sales of sneakers. And then all of a sudden it's like, huh, if people keep wanting to know the prices, I've come up with a platform. And you come up with a platform, you get investors, you got investors that got a lot of money into these aftermarkets. So, man, that's the full story from my opinion. I still think that if we went back to, you know, if we were finding our roots, going chasing the ancestry, your fourth great grandfather messed up. okay, that's what happened. He didn't keep the culture going. He was there to resell and get whatever he could, and he didn't care about his kids and his kids' kids and all this other stuff.
He left nothing for you.
Look what happened where we're at, and it's just like, well, thanks. But you know what I'm saying? Because now I ain't got nothing. You got to resell for whatever, and then now, I just like it when I have the gems of stuff that's on sale. I especially love the non-Nike and Jordan stuff where I find the Reebok that nobody wants, and I buy it for $40, and then a year or 2 years later, it's $300, $350, all because something happened, you want it, and you totally just overlooked it, and then now here I am. You know what I mean? So I got a couple of those in the mix right now. So I love those because I was killing on those in the pandemic, especially in the beginning, because I was just like, I paid $35 for these Iversons, and you want $375. You can have them. You know, so I think that it's not dead, but the strategy behind it is outdated already, and I don't think that you're going to get. I don't think we're going to get to the point where people make the consistent weekly money that they think that let like they used to. You know what I'm saying? And what happened was those people made money, limited amount of people, but you, the way that you flossed it and talked about it, it made it look like everybody's making money, you know? And, you know, it was the same thing as the Black Friday lined up for the TV just so that you could buy it and flip it, all right? Or the electronics or the PlayStation or whatever. But I just didn't understand how that in electronics always stayed in Black Friday mode and just never made it to regular sale mode, but then sneakers became the thing that you could do all year long. And I was just like, I thought this was the same type of hustle, but it got commercialized, right? And then all these outlets want to, you know, again, when you have not people not a part of the culture, well, let's have a news article about this sneakers. People are buying and selling sneakers. So now you got the wrong people amplifying the stuff. And then now Joe Schmo gets to watch that on the news and then be like, oh, I could do that. So we talked about this before. Go get a job, people. All right. You're going to sit in camp for a week just to buy a shoe and flip it and make $150. The amount of time you spent.
There you go.
It's not equal to what you would have made if you were actually working, you know? So, and if you're willing to just zap up all the inventory like that, you know, like, come on. I literally watched people line up. This is no joke. I was doing Yeezy releases. I watched, I'm not making fun of anybody, so don't laugh when I say this.
All right.
The second person in line bought my size 12. He ain't had no feet, dog.
Lord have mercy.
Wheelchair, amputee.
Lord have mercy. Understood. And I think we need to close off on that. There's no way.
But
no way
you
to go
did it
that.
Because you asked for a 12 or a 13 because you knew that you were going to make the most money on that.
There you go.
You in a wheelchair with no feet sat in line for a week and bought my shoe. My size, because you know that my size 12 and 13 is going to sell more than the nines and everything else. I was always the victim. You know what I'm saying? All you little foot people, you were messing up the resale. What happened to the guy that just takes the back inventory? You know what I'm saying? That just wasn't left. And then that's the reseller. You know who those people were, because they were trailing the stores after we left them. They had their little inventory sheets and would actually just, how many you got left of these? Okay, I'll buy those, you know, and then you're buying Prestos and all the other stuff. I like those resellers because you were here for the long term. You weren't sitting here trying to buy what just came out. You're sitting here looking at what's left, what's about to go on sale that you could make, I don't know, the same margin, but you can do it in higher frequency. I don't think anyone involved in the learning of being the best possible reseller. Everyone was just there to do it and get whatever, you know. And if you made your money back and you made $10, you sitting there flossing the whole $260 as if you made $260. No, the shoes paid that, and then you just made a couple bucks.
There you go.
You can't even get a full combo meal. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dog. Like, why did you do all that work just to waste everyone's time? And I think that's the part that I'm going to end on. I think people's time has been wasted so much that now people that are casual, they give up at going to the store. They give up at going to the online release because it's just like, I'm not going to get it. I'll just go online to StockX and pay the price. Because you're not buying sneakers at a clip, and you just want to be able to get what you want. So now it's become normalized to just walk in and just, if this is what I want, I'll just pay the extra $150. You know what I mean? I'm just not doing it often, but I just want it. You know what I mean? And that's the only way I know how to get it, because I just won't do the work because I'm not a sneakerhead. I just like that sneaker.
Understood.
So there you go. Think that's a good place to wrap up. For this episode, you know, I don't even know if we answered the question, but we kind of, you know, is it dead? Yeah, it's still alive, but it's just taking a new form. It's in a zombie stage right now. You know what I mean? A little Walking Dead action. You know, you have the power. This is why we give you that clarity over popularity.
Indeed.
That sneaker business talk for the Soul Material Podcast, because that's what we do. Just try to keep that nostalgia alive and carry it on to the next generation. So, that was a nice episode right here. Till next time, friends, we're signing off. From the Soul Material Podcast, it's T. Mark the Street Sharp.
And OGO, until next time, peace to you.